Running shoes online can feel like a guessing game, but Marathon Sports makes it easy to get the right gear without stepping into a store. At MarathonSports.com, you'll find the same trusted brands runners and walkers rely on, including Brooks, Hoka, New Balance, Asics, Saucony, and more. Whether you're training for a race, walking for fitness, or just need everyday comfort, Marathon Sports has the shoes, apparel, and accessories to keep you moving. Their online shop is built for athletes and everyday movers. Easy browsing, detailed product guidance, and fast shipping help you find exactly what you need without the hassle. Because the right gear doesn't just improve your run, it improves how you feel every day. Shop now at MarathonSports.com and get moving.
It's cozy season, and nothing compares to wrapping yourself in a Minky Couture blanket. Luxuriously soft, perfectly warm, thoughtfully made. From movie nights to chilly mornings, Minky Couture turns everyday moments into pure comfort. Once you feel it, you'll understand why it's called the original best blanket ever. Visit MinkyCouture.com or a store near you and make this cozy season your softest one yet.
You're watching a Highwire Media podcast.
Welcome to the Cinema Gold Show. As always, I'm your host, Larry Lace. On today's episode, we debut the Central City Rewatch. We dive into each episode of The Flash and give you our thoughts and rating of every episode. Let me know your thoughts on The Flash in the comment section below. Is there an episode that you remember that you consider one of your favorites? And with that, let's dive right in. When The Flash premiered on October 7th, 2014, it didn't just mark the debut of another superhero television series it announced. With bold comic book energy, the arrival of something faster, brighter, and more emotionally earnest than many of its contemporaries. Coming from the creative team that had already turned Arrow into a ratings juggernaut, this spinoff had the potential to be either a fresh tonal shift or a hollow retread. The pilot episode, aptly titled City of Heroes, waste no time proving it will be the former. From its brisk pacing to its colorful visuals, the episode confidently establishes a world where optimism isn't naive, it's the source of power. What's immediately striking is the contrast in tone from Arrow. While Oliver Queen's story unfolds in shadows and moral ambiguity, Barry Allen's begins with light, both literally and figuratively. That's not to say the pilot avoids tragedy. In fact, the foundational trauma in Barry's life is as dark as anything in the Arrowverse. But it's handled with a sense of wonder and forward momentum, as if the narrative itself is springing towards something hopeful. Tonight, we're going to take a deep dive in every key moment of this episode, the setup of Barry's world, the inciting incident that gives him his powers, the supporting characters who flesh out his journey, and the villain who serves as his first real test. Along the way, we'll break down the craft, story structure, performances, visual effects, and evaluate how well the pilot sets the tone for what will become one of the CW's most beloved superhero dramas. The very first scene does something rare for superhero pilots, gives us the hero's voice, literally, before we even see him in full costume. Grant Gustin's narration over a montage of Barry racing through the city instantly grounds the character. He's not just a speedster, he's a storyteller, letting us into his thoughts. The writing of this monologue is deceptively simple, efficiently laying out who Barry is, what drives him, and what's about to change. Then we flash back to the moment that shaped his life, the murder of his mother, Nora Allen, under impossibly strange circumstances. The young Barry's memory, yellow lightning swirling in the living room, his mother falling lifeless, his father framed for the crime, burns in the audience's mind. It's not just a backstory beat, it's a mystery with a long-term narrative weight. This sequence also subtly introduces the concept of metahuman speed before Barry even gets his own powers, planting seeds for the Reverse Flash storyline that will unfold across the season. In present-day Central City, we meet Barry as a CSI with a reputation for being both brilliant and chronically late. The pilot uses his job cleverly. It's a skill set that will directly complement his superhero life, and it provides an easy narrative excuse to place him in crime scenes, interacting with the police department's key players. Joe West, played by Jesse L. Martin, emerges immediately as both mentor and surrogate father figure. Their dynamic is warm, familiar, and tinged with unspoken history. We also meet Iris West, played by Candace Patton, Barry's best friend and unrequited love. This part of the episode leans into light banter, setting up their comfortable rapport while planting emotional stakes that will pay off later. Here, the writing earns points for integrating exposition into character moments. Instead of dumping lore in long speeches, it filters information through relationships. We learn about the Star Lab's particle accelerator, not because someone lectures us, but because Barry and Iris attend the big unveiling. It's a textbook example of show, don't tell us. Particle accelerator's activation is their narrative's flipping point. Dr. Harrison Wells, played by Tom Cavanaugh, presides over the event, radiating charisma and mystery. Cisco Ramon, played by Carlos Valdez, apologies if I butcher his name, and Caitlin Snow, played by Danielle Panabaker, round out the lab team, each given quick but memorable introductions. When the accelerator malfunctions, the city is thrown into chaos. Barry, chasing down a suspect, is caught outside in the storm. A bolt of lightning laced with dark matter from the explosion strikes him through his lab skylight, a sequence rendered with surprising visual polish for network television. The effect isn't just spectacle, it's mythic. In one shot, Barry's transformation becomes a modern legend. Barry wakes from a coma in the care of the Star Labs team, now working out of a damaged and mostly deserted facility. The script smartly uses his recovery to reintroduce characters and reestablish stakes. Wells is now confined to a wheelchair, Caitlin is grappling with personal loss, and Cisco's energy masks the deeper fractures in the group. The Testing Barry's Powers montage is one of the pilot's most joyful sequences. Gustin sells the awe of discovering super speed, his reactions oscillating between disbelief and pure glee. This is where The Flash fully distinguishes itself from Arrow. Barry's journey begins not in vengeance, but in wonder. The episode's antagonist, Clyde Martin, played by Chad Rook, is a petty criminal transformed by the particle accelerator blast into a metahuman capable of controlling the weather. While not the most layered villain, he serves as an important narrative function to establish that Barry isn't alone in gaining powers and that those powers can manifest in dangerous ways. The decision to adapt a weather wizard in the pilot is a smart one. His abilities demand large-scale action sequences, allowing the show to flex its visual effects budget early. The confrontation between Barry and Martin in the episode's climax, high-speed chase against a swirling tornado, demonstrates the creative team's commitment to spectacle. Much of the pilot's emotional weight comes from its relationships. Barry and Joe's father-son bond is given more screen time than many genre shows allow in their first episodes. When Joe learns Barry's secret, his initial disbelief gives way to protective concern, setting up one of the season's most important arcs. Joe's gradual acceptance of Barry's role as the Flash. Iris' subplot is less developed here, but her warmth towards Barry is clear. The episode also drops hints about her growing interest in the Streak, the mysterious hero in red, a thread that will complicate her relationship with Barry in episodes to come. And now we're going to dive scene by scene for episode one. So of course, right off the bat, you got Barry's voice carrying the easy cadence of someone speaking to a friend. You know, my name is Barry Allen. He begins in what will become a series trademark. The camera glides through Central City in sweeping aerial shots before zeroing in on a red blur, darting between pedestrians. There's kinetic energy in the editing, quick cuts between Barry dodging a delivery truck, vaulting over a police barricade, and smiling at a stunned onlooker. The monologue is more than just exposition. It's a thesis statement. Barry's tone is hopeful, unjaded, a quality that sets him apart from the darker tone of Arrow. This opening isn't just a roll call of powers. It's a declaration that optimism is this show's superpower. Oh, and then a childhood flashback, season two. A warm golden light filters through the Allen home as Nora Allen reads in the living room. The sound design shifts abruptly when Barry, still a boy, there's a strange whooshing outside. The air ripples, a low-frequency hum builds as streaks of yellow lightning whip through the room. The camera spins with young Barry's disoriented gaze, emphasizing his confusion. In a blink, Nora lies dead. Henry Allen is covered in her blood, and the police are barging through the door. The fact that Barry's earliest memory of the impossible is also his most traumatic moment becomes a defining element of his psyche. Cut to modern Central City, a murky alley cordoned off with police tape. Barry kneels, inspecting tire treads in the mud. His camera flashes as he snaps reference photos, narrating deductions to himself, like a scientist lost in thought. Joe West's arrival is brisk and professional, with just a flicker of paternal warmth.
The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Running shoes online can feel like a guessing game, but Marathon Sports makes it easy to get the right gear without stepping into a store. At MarathonSports.com, you'll find the same trusted brands runners and walkers rely on, including Brooks, Hoka, New Balance, Asics, Saucony, and more. Whether you're training for a race, walking for fitness, or just need everyday comfort, Marathon Sports has the shoes, apparel, and accessories to keep you moving. Their online shop is built for athletes and everyday movers. Easy browsing, detailed product guidance, and fast shipping help you find exactly what you need without the hassle. Because the right gear doesn't just improve your run, it improves how you feel every day. Shop now at MarathonSports.com and get moving.
It's cozy season, and nothing compares to wrapping yourself in a Minky Couture blanket. Luxuriously soft, perfectly warm, thoughtfully made. From movie nights to chilly mornings, Minky Couture turns everyday moments into pure comfort. Once you feel it, you'll understand why it's called the original best blanket ever. Visit MinkyCouture.com or a store near you and make this cozy season your softest one yet.
Dialogue here is quick and efficient. Joe ribbing Barry for tardiness, Barry deflecting with good-natured sarcasm. Already, the mentor-student dynamic is humming. The West home radiates familiarity. Warm lighting, cluttered kitchen counters, framed family photos. Iris leans against the doorway, teasing Barry about his scatterbrained ways. Joe rolls his eyes with the weary affection of a man raising two kids who aren't his by blood but are entirely his by heart. This is the safe place Barry will keep returning to, even when everything else in his life becomes unstable. And then, at scene 5, we have the particle accelerator unveiling. The unveiling at Star Labs is grander than most CW budget affairs. Extras mill around the plaza, television crews jostle for position, and Harrison Wells stands at the podium, radiating charm. Sisko cracks jokes in the wings, Caitlin hovers with cool efficiency. Wells' speech about ushering in a new age of scientific discovery is pure visionary rhetoric, equal parts inspiring and ominous. And then, scene 6, you have the night of the explosion. Dark clouds gather like ink bleeding into paper. Rain lashes the streets and wind rattles with lampposts. At Star Labs, alarm klaxons wail. Barry, in pursuit of a suspect, runs through the storm-soaked streets. The lightning strike is shot like a mythological event. Slow-motion droplets suspended midair, a bolt shattering glass overhead. Barry's body illuminated in stark white light. The cut to black is abrupt, letting the image linger in the mind. And 9 months later, Barry blinks awake to find Sisko leaning over him, grinning like a man who's been sitting on a secret far too long. Caitlin, all business, checks vitals while Wells wheels into view with an air of calm authority. The said design reinforces their new reality. The lab is quieter, emptier, haunted by the explosion's aftermath. From rooftop sprints to the treadmill trial, Barry's discovery phase is the pilot's purest fun. Sisko times him like a coach at track practice, shouting numbers in disbelief. Caitlin's clinical notes barely disguise her fascination. The camera alternates between wide shots of Barry blurring across rooftops and tight close-ups of his exhilarated grin. Meanwhile, Clyde Martin re-emerges, his petty criminal past now augmented by the ability to summon storms. The first display of his power, lightning arcing from his fingertips, is both cheesy and impressive. The kind of comic book moment that tells the audience, yes, we're going there. Barry confronts Martin, but is quickly outmatched. His speed gets him close, but he has no plan, no strategy. The fight ends with Barry shaken, his confidence dented. Back at Star Labs, Wells discovers the line that will echo across the series. Barry's second confrontation with Martin is sharper and more strategic. The tornado sequence is thrilling, with the speed effects blending practical debris and digital wind currents in a way that keeps the action readable. And then, Season 12, Joe's change of heart. Watching Barry disperse the tornado flips a switch for Joe. His disbelief is gone, replaced by fierce protectiveness. In a quiet moment afterward, he grips Barry's shoulder and says, "You can do this." And then Scene 13, the audience is shocked. The reveal of Wells walking is executed with precise dramatic timing. The camera pans down from his face to his legs, then back up to the 2024 headline. It reframes every earlier scene with Wells as potentially manipulative, a masterstroke for serialized intrigue. The pilot condenses Joseph Campbell's monomyth into 42 minutes without feeling rushed. Barry's ordinary world is a CSI job, where he's already investigating the extraordinary. The call to adventure is the lightning strike. The refusal of the call is his initial uncertainty about using his powers publicly, and the meeting with the mentor is embodied in Harrison Wells. By the tornado climax, Barry has crossed the threshold into heroism. But the particle accelerator is the beating heart of the show's science fiction premise. It's the wellspring of Barry's powers and the city's metahuman crisis. This duality gives the series moral complexity. Advancement isn't inherently good or evil, but a tool that magnifies human intent. The pilot establishes this tension without moralizing, letting future episodes explore the fallout. In a TV landscape where many heroes are hardened anti-heroes, Barry's optimism is almost subversive. Choosing hope in the face of tragedy is framed not as naivety, but as strength. This sets The Flash apart from its darker Arrowverse sibling and positions Barry as a beacon both for the citizens of Central City and for viewers craving a lighter tone. For 2014 network television, the visual effects are ambitious. The speed trails, slow motion speed force shots, and weather manipulation sequences hold up remarkably well. The tornado climax integrates practical debris and CGI to keep the action tangible. Importantly, the camera always keeps Barry in focus, ensuring the audience can follow the geography of the scene. Barry's prototype suit is functional, yet foreshadows the sleeker version to come. The dark red leather and gold accents nod to the comics without veering into camp. Star Labs set design blends industrial and high-tech elements, creating a believable hub for scientific experimentation. Blake Neely's score is one of the pilot's unsung strengths. The main theme swells with a hopeful motif that becomes Barry's aural signature. Sound design, from the crack of lightning to the Doppler-shifted whoosh of Barry's runs, sells the speed in ways visuals alone can't. While The Flash premiered, superhero television was in a transitional phase. Smallville had ended, Arrow was leaning into greedy realism, and Marvel had just begun its own TV ventures. And we know how that went. The Flash's pilot stood out by embracing bright colors, earnest dialogue, and unapologetic comic book spectacle. In comparison to Smallville's drawn-out power reveal pacing, The Flash wastes no time. Barry is in full costume and saving the city before the credits roll. When Arrow took a season to build trust between hero and allies, Barry's team is established from day one. This approach allowed the series to dive into multi-episode arcs quickly, a decision that kept audiences hooked. Critically, the pilot's ratings justified the CW's gamble, pulling in over 4.8 million viewers, one of the network's biggest premieres. More importantly, it proved there was a space in the superhero genre for joy alongside grit. The City of Heroes pilot works because it understands that spectacle means little without Barry's journey from forensic scientist to superhero. It's grounded in relationships. Joe's mentorship, Iris's friendship, and the uneasy alliance with Star Labs. The tornado climax is thrilling, but it's the quiet moment when Joe tells Barry, "You can do this," that lingers. As a piece of television, the pilot accomplishes a rare feat. It satisfies as a standalone story, while planting seeds for a season-long arc. As part of the Arrowverse, it broadens the tonal palette, proving that earnestness can be as compelling as grit. And as an origin story, it delivers what superhero fans crave: the joy of discovery, the thrill of action, and the promise that this is only the beginning. So let me know your thoughts on Flash pilot episode. With that, I'm going to give it a... out of all the TV shows I've watched a lot, I'm actually going to give the pilot 5 stars. Like, it was actually really good for being a pilot that sets up a show. I think it did help that, yeah, the fact that they weren't building up relationships. They were already kind of thrown in there. So I think that helped. But let me know what you rank the pilot episode as in the comment section below. Of course, give us a thumbs up if you like our video. Hit that subscribe button down below. Hit the bell notification button to be notified of future videos. And of course, if you want to support the channel, you can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/cinemagold or scan the QR code that you see on screen. And don't forget, you can find us on all major podcast platforms: Good Pods, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you get your podcast from. You can check us out. And if you listen on Spotify, leave us a review. As always, thank you so much for watching, listening. We'll see you next time.
Running shoes online can feel like a guessing game, but Marathon Sports makes it easy to get the right gear without stepping into a store. At marathonsports.com, you'll find the same trusted brands runners and walkers rely on, including Brooks, Hoka, New Balance, Asics, Saucony, and more. Whether you're training for a race, walking for fitness, or just need everyday comfort, Marathon Sports has the shoes, apparel, and accessories to keep you moving. Their online shop is built for athletes and everyday movers. Easy browsing, detailed product guidance, and fast shipping help you find exactly what you need without the hassle. Because the right gear doesn't just improve your run, it improves how you feel every day. Shop now at marathonsports.com and get moving.
It's cozy season, and nothing compares to wrapping yourself in a Minky Couture blanket. Luxuriously soft, perfectly warm, thoughtfully made. From movie nights to chilly mornings, Minky Couture turns everyday moments into pure comfort. Once you feel it, you'll understand why it's called the original best blanket ever. Visit MinkyCouture.com or a store near you and make this cozy season your softest one yet.